Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy. Special guest tonight, Sean Anthony Robinson.
What's up?
Welcome.
Kevin, you really need to learn how to use a green screen.
No, it's green.
No, it's green, but it's complete. I mean, you're doing absolutely everything wrong. There's nothing right about that green screen.
Until St. Patrick's Day.
What, did you have sex with it? I mean, seriously, look at the wrinkles. I mean, seriously, Kevin, really? So, hey, artist Miss Cambit. So I'm so glad last week went well, right? I felt good about it.
Fun show. Right?
I'm so glad to get out of that panda makeup, though. Oh, my God.
How long did it take?
It took about 3 days.
Did your personality change at all? Was there any?
My personality changes every day. I've got several split personalities. You know that.
I just wanted to know if you were rubbing your back against trees or seeking out buried nuts or any type
chasing
of other
down
behaviors.
Rabbits.
That's you know that's normal behavior. I wouldn't know
that
if that would
explains
alarm
the
me.
Blood in my mouth in the morning. That explains it. No, that was oh my God. It takes about 3 days, no joke, because you wash it off and then you still got those black circles, like you can't quite get the, you know what I mean? So you either look like a zombie or you look like you know what I mean? You look like
then you should make it an event, like the day after you take it off, you should go to a doctor and get some medicine because he's gonna look at you and be like, you need it. What are
yeah,
you looking
right?
for?
All my straight friends are looking at me like, oh, dude, what the hell? Look with your eyes. Seriously, man, what's that? You get what's with the mascara?
Get a little sleep medicine. Doc, you got to help me.
Right? Yeah, well, right.
I haven't slept in months.
He's like, you're aware it's the day after Halloween, Danny. Mr. McDermott. Oh, yeah, shit. I thought my eyes were screwed up. But it was a good show, right? We had a ton of people.
It was our busiest show yet.
It definitely was our busiest show. It was stressful as hell. Because we went through the rehearsal and we went through all the changes and all that kind of stuff. And then we got to the show and all the changes changed.
Yeah, it's a lot of moving parts.
It was like, oh man, how was your week?
It was a great week. It was a great week. Just, another 7 days.
That's really interesting, Kevin. Thank you for bringing that out. Thank you for juicing up the giving us some real, structure. Not structure. What's the word I'm looking for? Texture to the show.
Let me tell you something, Danny, and I was lying.
You were lying?
I was lying. It's 7 days minus an hour. No, plus an hour. I'm sorry.
Plus an hour. Your math is terrible, too.
Okay. It seemed extremely long. As soon as I said minus an hour, I was like, that can't be.
I'm glad you came in. At least I'm glad you came into the studio 50 minutes after rehearsal started and 10 minutes before the show.
I'm a diva now. It's gone to my head.
Oh, my God.
I got a green screen. I'm doing all kinds of Hollywood things.
Why are you even putting the green screen up? I mean, look at it.
Look, I'm just committed. Yeah, that's how I am. I'm debating getting a green shirt. I can't just be a floating head.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Seriously, you really look like you're in a basement with several cages of women or
it
young
does.
People.
It seems like there's something somebody would testify about going on behind the green.
Yeah, right? If you ever go to trial, they're going to be like, look where he does his podcast from. Look at this. You trust this guy?
All right. I'll plea. It'll never go to trial. Strike a deal.
Well, at least everyone is stress-free today.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking we need to find that arena that as a people we could settle our differences. You know, is it square dancing? Is it freestyle rap?
I think Biden and Trump should have a fist fight. I think if they want to battle over the states, you know, they should just have a fist fight instead of a lawsuit.
That's not a bad idea.
I don't know, man. I just think everybody's so stressed out. I think everybody's got to chill no matter what happens. You know, we got to deal with it however we deal with it, right?
You know, the truth of the matter is we're all out here just trying to make it through today.
That's it. So, you know, and what's funny to me is if you just shut off all the news, all the media, all the TV, and you didn't even know there was an election, you'd be fine.
I'd wonder why those places are boarding up, but yeah.
Yeah, you'd wonder, why is everybody a doctor?
No, a welder.
Everybody looks like doctors.
A lot of people have taken up welding, too.
Right?
Thankfully, they're not carrying the torch with them, but they've got the mask.
Right? Imagine how confusing it would be if you knew nothing. If you knew nothing and you just walked out and you had no access to media and nobody could talk to you about it. Nobody could talk to you about it. You like sneeze and people run. You're like, whoa, what the hell?
How about a time traveler that's got to go back to the 70s? Like everybody's either a doctor or a welder. So whether a human or a robot, they're just putting you back together. That's all they do.
People would freak the hell out, man. If you didn't know what was happening, oh my God, that'd be crazy. Hey, Robin. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, though, I mean, I took a walk today. I forgot about everything. I just walked and I was, you know, looking at the beautiful woods and the forests and all that kind of stuff. We don't need people saying hi on the comments on front, on the screen. People saying hi to each other on the screen.
All right. It's a meeting. It's a meeting place. Everybody's comfortable at home.
All of a sudden, this guy, that's great. Robert's one of the producers of the show, and his name comes up and goes, hi, Sean. I'm like, how does that add to the show?
That's this is when they have a chance to speak.
We must really be sucking right now, Kevin. Our conversation must be boring as hell.
When you and I start saying hi to people in the comments.
What's that?
I said, when you and I start saying hi to people in the comments, there's an issue. Hi, Sean.
Right. Oh, dude. Seriously, how did you get that green screen that wrinkled? I got to know. What did you just like roll it up in a ball and throw it in the corner from the last show?
No, those are dramatic show busy curtain looks. They sweep this way, but this way not so much.
I don't know, dude. It really looks like it looks like the pattern on your face when you wake up in the morning with bed face. You know, with the skin's all creased and stuff like that. That's what it looks like behind you right now.
Yeah, another 6 months of quarantine, it'll be my only wardrobe. Don't worry.
What's that, Steve?
I said green silk sheets from his bed.
Green silk sheets from your bed. Is that what it is? It's green silk sheets from your bed?
No. It's not silk.
So, okay. So
it's a poly blend.
let's everybody's talking about it. I don't want to talk about politics, but the election, people are literally losing their minds. And I was too. And I'm like sitting there and I'm working. I'm doing my day job, whatever. I'm working and I'm like, keep looking at the screen. What are the electoral votes? What are the, you know, and I'm watching the thing, you know, and they got all the little blue and the little red. And I'm like, that little blue looks small. No, but it's populated more, you know, and you're just trying to absorb all this shit. And it's driving everyone insane because
Utah's in play.
Huh?
Utah's in play. That's all I see. Just, Nevada could make a difference here.
What was that game? Oh, there was a game
like
with politics. It had a politics card. Do you remember that? What was that game?
I don't.
God, you remember that game, Steve? There was a game. I remember my parents used to play it, and there was a card. You take a politics card, and it has blue and red, and it looked like a Pepsi thing because it's blue and red, and it's got the circle, but it said politics, and I can't remember what that game was. We're going to have to figure that out.
I don't think it was a real game. I think your parents just didn't want to talk to each other. That's how they did it.
Maybe so. It's quite possible.
And it also gave them an excuse to filibuster.
Who's a buster? I'm just kidding. What is filibuster anyway? What is it again? Well, you just get to go and go until you collapse.
Well, you basically talk your way to the end of the session so that they can't proceed with some sort of policy, you know.
So they can't.
Yeah.
So they can't vote on it or something, or how's that work?
Yeah, that's what I do when we try to put together a food order from a place I don't want to eat at. I just filibuster until we arrive at pizza. So what kind of cheese comes on the French onion soup? I don't know.
Let's talk about how we avoided stuff. When I was a kid, you know how I avoided stuff when I was a kid and when I was married? I'd pretend I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Like my father'd be like, get a hammer. I'd be like, okay. I bring back a spoon. Is this what you're looking for? He goes, no, what are you, an idiot? I'm like, no, I'm sorry. What did you want? A hammer. Oh, a hammer, sorry. Here's a screwdriver. By the end of it, he decided he'd better let me go or he'd kill me.
I did the same thing, but through asking for clarifications.
Really?
I know. Okay. I know I'm punished, Dad, but can I have
Can you fruit clarify loops? That?
Can I have fruit loops? Is that allowed? I know I'm punished, but can I read a book? And eventually I would hear, I don't care what the hell you do. Get out of the house.
Exactly. That's exactly what you got to do. That's what you got to do. I hope my son is not watching this because my ex is going to kill me if he learns to do this.
It's in his blood. He's probably doing it now.
You know, he does it with me. He does it with me. When I was out in the backyard and I was tearing up the fence. Oh my God. I just realized it. I'm like tearing up the fence and I'm like, here, why don't you help me do this? He goes, okay, where? You know, it's like the fence, just grab it. He goes, how? I'm like, pick it up with your hands. He goes, which part? And I'm like, argh!
So he asked for clarification. There's nothing wrong with that.
Just do it wrong until you don't have to do it.
Yeah, just do it wrong until you don't have to do it, is what Steve said. Exactly.
No, he's not wrong.
Well, that's what most of our politicians do.
Yeah, and I want to just take a moment to declare myself the winner in 2024.
Really?
Yeah, we need to shut down the ballot counting, too.
You're going to have
It's only going to interfere with my victory.
You're going to have to sue a lot of states.
That's okay. I don't mind. Because, I have a coupon.
You know, none of them know you're running, so it's gonna be an issue.
That's how I'm going to sneak up on them. And if I'm correct, that I'm able to thwart. First of all,
counting. I don't think it was that, Bill. I don't think it was that. I don't know what it was. It's killing me now. Go ahead, Kevin. Sorry. It's killing me now. Seriously. I can see the card vividly in my mind. My parents used to play it with my aunts and uncles all drunk and laughing. It was the only time they were nice to me. I'd be laying in bed, right? And all of a sudden I'd hear them all out there laughing and
that is, you know, funny.
And I'd go, yes, and I'd get up and I'd walk out because I knew they weren't gonna yell at me for staying up late. That's and they're like, oh, they're laughing, wake you up. I go, yeah. They're like, all right, sit down, take a sip of beer.
That's great. Well, they needed at least a half a bottle of vodka in somebody before they'd agree to be Belgium.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you, that was the time when I was most happy hearing them laughing drunk because I knew everything was fine. I could do anything I wanted.
Those were good old days.
Yeah.
A couple of puffs on a cigarette before you turn six. God, explains a lot, doesn't it?
Don't even get me started about the cigarettes. Oh, that was horrible. I hated cigarettes when I was a kid. I hated them. You know, my parents smoked the Pall Mall. You know what I mean? And they'd smoke in the car while we're in the back seat.
Airplanes.
And I'd be like this. And my father would be like, shut the hell up. You know?
Airplanes had ashtrays.
Yeah, I remember that.
The armrest on an airplane used to have an ashtray.
And they had the candy cigarettes. Remember the candy cigarettes?
And I'll tell you what. Nobody freaked out during those elections because they could smoke. They could smoke. They could drink.
Dude, we were kids, and I remember vividly, me and my little brother, we were in the hospital, probably, I think grandma was in the hospital or something, and we were bored, and we had these candy cigarettes, and we kept pretending we were smoking, and then people would play along. Adults would come by and go, are you smoking? And we'd be like, yeah. And we'd be laughing. I mean, it was just like, I can't believe they were allowed to sell those things.
I celebrated my own birth with an It's a Boy cigar.
With a,
it's a joke, Danny.
I know, but I'm just trying to imagine how your mother got a lit cigar in there while you were being born, so you get smoking coming out.
You call these fallopian tubes?
Landslide. I think that's it.
That's it. I just looked it up. It is it.
That's it. Oh, landslide. Wow. That was the game. Oh my God. I don't remember anything but the politic card. That's all I remember. But I remember it was a game. Nice job. Was that you that looked it up?
No, somebody else.
Somebody else looked it up. Oh, that was awesome.
In between Dude. Greeting each other, they're helping.
See, everybody thought I was insane. Everybody thought I was insane until now. Eddie Brill. I invited Eddie Brill tonight, who used to warm up the Letterman show audience. He used to work on the Letterman show, but he couldn't make it tonight. So, You still smoking when Knives Out? I have no idea what that means. Gorillas aren't very good at texting. That looked like a gorilla to me.
That's funny.
I didn't even know gorillas knew how to the word knives. But anyway, so what time is it? We should bring our guest on. Why not? Let's bring him on early.
All right.
Bring him on. All right. So this guy is an old friend of mine. I say old friend because it feels like we've been friends forever. I think Manny the Mute Dog is ready with a banner. There we go. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to say something about him, and then we'll bring him in. Australian-born Sean Anthony Robinson has always loved performing. From his teenage years to his 20s, he dabbled in many bands and eventually landing himself the front man. Don't move, Ken. Position in a Central Coast rock band called Origin of Jankin. That must be Australian. Anyway, it sparked his passion for entertaining and pushed him into auditioning for TV shows and films, eventually landing roles in Bogan Hunt. Fat Pizza versus Housos and Dumb Criminals. Ah, Dumb Criminals. Dude. Dumb Criminals. Before I bring them on, Dumb Criminals. Amazingly funny thing. I wish I could play it. It's just awesome. And he's funny at it. But I met him at a film festival because I was talking to Miss Turkey. And she was talking to him too. And I was like, so who are you, man? You know, because I was already talking to her. And I'm like, who are you, dude? And he turned out to be this super cool guy. He was scary because he was huge. But I still was like, hey, I was talking to this girl. You know what I mean? And he was super cool. We wound up hitting it off. And like I think the next 3 days he was trying to teach me the Australian accent for these lines for this movie where they're gonna bring James Dean back from the dead. No, this is not a high dream, guys. This is not like something I imagined from edibles. 3 days he tried to help me with this. And please, let's bring him on. Sean Anthony Robinson.
Yes. G'day, mate. How are you?
G'day, Mike. G'day, mate.
So how are you going with that Australian accent, mate?
I'm doing all right, Fatimadin.
Yeah.
Terrible.
South African, yeah, that's...
I haven't tried to do this.
You could tell he's had a day and a half of training.
You know what happened? COVID hit, and I was just like, eh. I'm like, eh.
Far out.
I'm not going to be filming it for 2 years now. I mean, I got 2 years now. So
I mean,
go ahead.
No, sorry. Your show, mate. Your show, sorry.
We're going to ask it's your me. Show. We're just talking. Yeah.
What are you talking about? What's going on?
Say whatever you want, dude. It's like we're hanging.
What is going on?
What is going on? You tell me.
I don't know. Like you were telling me you still have you learned any Australian words yet or what?
Dude, I would literally ride my bike with Australian repeating over words over and over again, and I'd be trying to say them as I rode the bike. And I still am dumb as a stump when it comes to the accent. I tried for
dumb as a stump.
Yeah.
So you still don't have a clue on any words.
If I tried to do the original language in the script, I might be able to come fairly close. Okay.
What about the easy ones like beauty?
Beauty.
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 What about billabong?
Billabong.
Billabong. All right. So what, you know, what about bloody oath?
What are you making me say? Am I insulting anybody?
Oh, I don't know. Not yet, you're not.
A different language right now.
Not yet, you're not. Not yet, you're not.
Okay, what was the last
one? Being a bit of a blood. You're
being
a bit of a bludger butt because you're not having a crack at it.
I'm being a bit of bludger butt. Being a bit of a bludger butt. You're being a bit of a bludger butt. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Just what my fans wanted to see is me trying to learn Australian words with a tutor.
Now they can see what I had to go through for, you know, like three antagonizing days.
And
we spent all of...
What a great guy this guy is.
What was it? All of Thanksgiving? Like, we spent Thanksgiving eating Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yep. Yep.
Learning.
Was it Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Yeah, it was. We went to Ralph's. They were packed. And then up the road from your old place.
That's right.
Yeah. And then we went and got Kentucky Fried Chicken. You're not paying for any sponsorship, so they can. Sorry.
Mostly.
And then I spent all afternoon. Far out.
And then my roommate came in and yelled at me for leaving the door open.
Yes. And
anyway, that was his first introduction to my roommate. She's like, "Why is the door open?" And that was I'm like, "Meet Sean." I didn't know what to do. So now the reason we connected was the film festival.
Yeah.
What was the festival again? It was
Flicks for Change.
Flicks for Change, right.
Yeah.
And it was actually a very well done festival, I thought.
You know, it's a film festival sort of with a conscience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike us.
Well, I speak for yourself, mate.
So we met there, and at the time, why were you in LA?
Well, I basically for the last 4 years, last 3.5 years, I've been doing a bit of research on Hollywood, and I think this was my last trip, basically, before I decided to put my film in. Well, I was over there this last year. I was over there to put my film into the AFM, but unfortunately, I didn't have the screener wasn't done, and neither was the trailer. So I sort of pointless going to AFM if that's not there. So, bit of a wasted trip.
We met.
Well, that's exactly right. I've met some, you know, more contacts, more friends, as just like you know, like yourself, and I got to, like, you know, write a bit more and do a bit more with my documentary. So the story wasn't over.
Why don't you tell us about the documentary?
Oh, the documentary. So the documentary was originally called, I started, like, I just decided about 3.5 years ago to go to Hollywood. And I thought, maybe I'll just film it. And a mate of mine said to me, do a documentary. I'm like, oh, what am I going to call it? And he's like, I don't know, That's Not a Knife. And I was like, okay, yeah, we'll call it That's Not a Knife. And anyway, after about 3 years, So That's Not a Knife is a documentary about, Surviving Sunset, a.k.a. original title, That's Not a Knife, is about an actor's journey to Hollywood. It's about my journey to Hollywood and, like, through my eyes. So basically it's a journey through Hollywood through my eyes. It's I'm just a normal Aussie bloke with had no idea on how to make a film. Everyone's telling me you can't do it. I'm like, yes I can. Several people told me it was a stupid idea. I had a fair bit of support, but at the same time, as much as support I had everyone telling me you had no idea, and they were right. I had no idea. I had no clue. I was like, and the more people told me I couldn't do it, I was like, yeah, watch this.
Yeah.
And then
you started interviewing other actors and stuff too.
I started interviewing. Well, I was only supposed to interview four or five actors. And then it ended up being about 100.
You can say five or four because Australia's on the other side of the world and your toilets go the other way too. So you can go five or four instead of four or five.
I'm going to make a movie about the futility of teaching Australian accents to Americans.
Don't give him ideas, Kevin.
You could dedicate 5 days to it. Not happening.
Okay, all right.
You know, if it wasn't for smart people like you, Kevin, I could probably make a lot of money. But thanks.
I actually think that where you missed the boat on this is going to KFC with Danny, because I think he's a natural at saying, please pass the turkey, with an Australian accent. And a normal meal would have just taken care of the whole thing.
Wait a minute, a turkey? A turkey fried chicken?
It was no, that's why you never said the golden sentence, Danny. I think if you'd have just sat around the table and you would have playfully said, please pass the turkey, mate, it would have been perfect.
I actually did have an Australian joke that I was doing
with
my stand-up. Yeah. I was like, I love dating. Well, I started out, it's just about foreigners in general. I said, I love dating foreign women because I believe in a healthy lack of communication.
I get it.
That way a guy can screw up, he can say something and then go, no, I said this, not that, and which worked great until I started dating this Australian girl, which apparently they speak English, which screwed up the whole thing, and it was going great. It was going great though for a while, until we were about to have, after a while, we decided to have sex, after like six beers. And she takes off her clothes and she looks at me. I take off my clothes. She looks at me and she goes, that's not a penis. That's a penis. That was a big joke. Yeah. It killed. You couldn't see me. See the actual.
But did she make you brekkie?
Did she what?
Did she make you brekkie?
What does that mean?
Breakie, breakfast.
Oh, breakie. Breakie. Breakfast. Okay. Yeah. Did she make me breakie?
Or did she just take you down the bottle eye?
It wasn't a real woman.
So it was a reach around.
No. I did date an Irish girl once. I dated the Irish girl who was dating the drummer from The Commitments. Oh. And I met him with her one night, and he was pissed. He hated me.
No. Why? Yeah,
I know.
How could they hate you?
Well, because I was having sex with his ex, probably.
Oh,
well,
yeah, that's probably.
That's not your fault. Lost.
Let's get back to your movie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we're talking about that. So I just decided, interviewing five or four people. four or five people just for you, Kevin.
75 or six.
Yeah, yeah. It turned into about 135.
Wow. Oh my God.
Over three and a half years. Now, my editor now says to me, Sean, the film is 97 minutes long. You have 135 people in the film. At what point of this film would you like to be in it? And how much time do you want to give everybody? So after interviewing all these people, I think, okay, I don't have room to put everybody in the film. So it basically, the film has changed. It's gone from being, it's still about the same thing, but it's evolved. The name has changed because the journey's changed.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of time on Sunset Boulevard, and I also saw a lot of people's dreams smashed on Sunset Boulevard. So I decided to call the film Surviving Sunset instead, because I thought it was more international. It's more self-explanatory.
Yeah.
You know, anyone that spends enough time on Sunset Boulevard knows that, you know, you're either going to go broke, you get an alcohol or a drug problem. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough life for sure.
Mm.
That's what
the film shines a light on. It shines a light on the fact that a lot of people think that actors are just going to go to Hollywood to make it big, and they're going to, you know, they go there and the lights and everything's there, but they never hear about the hardship, because until they're famous, you know.
Yeah.
That's pointless. So this is the raw shit. This is, you know, and whether I get famous from it or not, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell a story. And I think there's other people out there that have stories that I wanted to tell their stories as well.
It seems like you have 135 people. It seems like it could be a series.
Well, I think what we're also going to do is we're going to chuck out probably 10 little 5-minute episodes of stuff that's not on the film.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and I think we're going to do that like prior and like post, pre, post, and during. It just depends on what the festivals allow us to put out. But like I said, the content that we're putting out in these little 5-minute episodes won't be in the actual film. So that way I'm also giving a chance to the people that I have interviewed and they gave their time. I'm giving them a bit of, you know, giving them something back to them. And some of the information that they, you know, some of the stuff they spoke about was, you know, the advice that they gave, you can't pay for. It's you know, it's golden. So because these are people that have gone through it and they've been there and they're doing it, you know.
Go ahead.
No, that's good.
No, you were heading on to something. I want to hear. No, that's good. I was just gonna say that you know I've been through the ringer, man.
Dude. Yeah. Well, I think I posted a video about one of your stories.
Oh, did you?
You know, that thing on your page, that guy that did a little story on you, did that little voiceover thing about you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know you've been through some shit, but you've also worked with some bloody cool people. So
that's true. That's true.
You know, so you should be.
I lived in a van. I was signing my divorce papers, when two of my friends died and my mother died, all in 1 year. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, and this was after. Yeah, The 20 some years before that in New York, the struggle was insane, but for some reason I just kept going. You know, I just kept going. I just couldn't stop. I was always producing my own stuff. And that's what you decided to do, is start producing your stuff. And that's why I think I felt a kinship toward you as a friend, you know, immediately.
Yeah.
Because we're not in our 20s, and still we're a little older than that, and we're still producing our stuff, man. We're still driving toward that goal. And
I'm still a big kid, mate. I mean, look, I'll show you how much of a big kid I am. Look, hold on.
He's
look.
A big dude.
Gosh.
How tall are you? Your lips, nice.
You remember All Fruit right. Loops, everybody?
Of course. Of course.
I am still a big kid. I will never get. Oh, yeah. And that there, that's a little product placement there. Dog Bite Industries, everybody.
Now, what is Dog Bite?
Sorry about that. Just sort of sneak that in there.
Throw it in, man. I'm here to promote you.
Hey, so look, Dog Bite Industries also is the first company to sponsor my film, and they've basically been there from the word go. And since I basically got in contact with me, I've sort of got people wearing the brand, such as the likes of Christian Isaiah, who plays Liam on Shameless. We've got the Operation Repo boys over there, Matt Birch and Freud Terrico. They're also wearing our gear. I mean, they're not on TV anymore, but they're still doing stuff, and they're still people are just getting out there wearing stuff. So I've just basically been trying to push that out there at the same time, because they've helped me. So I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are sort of helping me out, you know, and haven't been able to help with money, but they've been able to help with, you know, here, Sean, here's a post, or, you know,
I know exactly how you feel, because this show, Angela Joseph, you know, she saw my videos and she approached me. And so it's not like, you know, they're really trying hard to promote this and help this go. And I'm grateful. And, you always got to remember that people believe in you. You got to be grateful for that, you know? So, and
that's the thing, man.
And Robert is another one. Yep. You got to create that.
Exactly. You've got to look, you know, like, it's all about, I think one of the things that stood out to me when we met and was standing at the Oak. You remember where we were at karaoke?
Yeah.
I think it was the Oaks. I'm pretty sure it was the Oaks. And you said to me, you know, it's not about just meeting a person and going, you know, get a hang on and that's it, and walking off, or meeting this person and going, what can I get out of you? What can I get out? What can I get from that person? It was about making a real connection with people. And I think that's where, sorry, I'm going off to a tangent here, but I think my film started off as I just wanted to talk to people. I just wanted to, you know, get some information. But what I ended up learning, I learned more about myself, and I learned more about the art of friendship. And I might have spoken to 135 people, but probably out of that 135 people, honestly, and I don't think anyone would be offended, I probably made a good 5 to 6 good friends out of that whole experience.
Yeah.
Not to say that I didn't meet some great people, because nearly every single person I met in this film had some great qualities, whether they were bad or good. But, you know, they had some great qualities. So it was just about
I remember that night at the Oaks.
It's
because we both I think what happened was I had been really sick of superficial shit. And when I met you, we started talking, and I just put my hand on your shoulder. I said, dude, we're having a real conversation. And all of a sudden your eyes just.
I remember because I remember I got there before you, and remember that movie? There was a guy there. It was a guy there that's been in heaps of movies, real skinny fella. He was in a movie called The New Guy. Now, I tried to have it. I didn't really remember who he was, but I was sort of like, oh, yeah. So we had a bit of a chat. But it wasn't a chat. It was more like, g'day, how you going, blah, 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 cut. Right. Now, our conversation could have gone the same way. But the way you came across to me wasn't the same way as he was. I mean, you have both basically been in the same industry for, you know, you've been in it longer than him. You've probably done a lot more, which is what I've seen, you know. Okay, some of the stuff you did probably was more behind the scenes and all that, but you weren't a snobby prick. You were like, hey, let's have a chat, let's have a conversation. Your ego didn't get the better of you. Yeah, you can talk, and fucking hell, if anyone knows that, sorry, I didn't mean to cuss. But if anyone knows Danny, everyone knows that Danny is a bloody good talker, and he's good at having a good conversation. So, you know, I was like, well, you know, this dude's giving me the time. that other dude's a snob. You know, no offense to you, mate, but he was a bit of a snob.
That's right. It's a little harder for someone who's a little bit more well-known. And to be honest with you, honestly, I feel like everybody needs to step back and in general, and everybody look them in the eye. Really.
Yeah.
You know, really say, you know, and I was really into that at that time, especially. It's when I really started to really connect with human beings like I've never connected before. And I think that night you and I, when I said that to you, I said, we're having a real conversation. Isn't that crazy? It struck you. And I said, you realize you could do that with everybody in this room. And all of a sudden you started talking to people. I started talking to people. Was Scott there?
Yeah, Scott was there.
Scott was there.
The youngest looking 62-year-old dude I've ever met. I swear to God. Holy crap. He's like, I'm 62. I'm like, get out of here.
Right? But by the end of the night, bro, we had everybody getting in real conversations and everybody talking to each other. It was a magical kind of
experience. It was weird. Well, everyone was off their phones. That was...
Right?
You know, it was basically stepping back into an old saloon where it's just the music, the drinks, and everyone having a good time. I don't really remember anyone having a phone in their hand, which was weird. There's no photos of the nights.
Yeah. Well, we were really connecting. Everybody was really genuinely, you know, and don't think about their looks. Don't think about anything about them. Just look at them as a human and just... talk to them.
And because you don't have distractions, you listen. And listening is a big key. A lot of times people wait to talk.
Yeah.
And there's no connection there. But when you genuinely listen, people feel that. And that interest in another human being builds a bond. And really, that's what life is about. Building bonds with your human beings that come across your path. And hopefully they're good human beings and the bonds are strong.
Well, that's how Kevin and I... connected too. Kevin and I had I just liked him immediately. I liked Kevin, and we genuinely could talk about stuff. And Kevin,
what's not to like? Look at him.
I know, right?
Gorgeous.
It's green in the back. That's the whole key. It's funny.
Anyway, I hope people listening tonight can think about that. Like, even, you know, when you're buying something from a girl at a register or a man at a register, just say, "Hey, how's your day?" And get them to look at you. Get them to look at you. You know, don't just take a blow off and just, it's easy. Just go, really?
Have you done it? Have you done it? Have you done it when they've given you and then they sort of looked at you like this?
Not usually when you're genuine. I think they're that way when you don't push a little bit and just get a real, let them know you're trying to really connect with them. It's a visceral thing. But anyway, so let's talk more about your career. So I know you did that. You're working on that movie and that's great. I mean, I can't wait till it's out because I'm in it. what do you want to talk about? Wow. You know,
I didn't tell you, did I?
What? Oh, I'm out. You caught me. You were never a friend.
He heard I had a green screen.
Yeah. Did you get that? Did you get that memo, Kevin?
Cool. I did.
Kevin's in and I'm out. Kevin, you're fired.
I'm only in if I agree to iron part of the green screen.
Oh. You're not going to iron?
Only part.
Green screen. Do you believe that green screen?
Oh, no. What a joke.
I think he had sex with it. I really do. Can we talk about Dumb Criminals?
Dumb Criminals. Look, don't get me. Look, Dumb Criminals gave me my start in the industry.
You were actually.
If it wasn't for, look, I was in a metal band before I started in television. How I got into television is a bunch of my mates, we're all sitting around having a jam. There was an ad that came on television saying, it was on Facebook saying, we're looking for bogans. Everyone, now a bogan, referencing. A bogan is basically a redneck.
Okay.
Right. A redneck that's got a job and goes to work and, you know, likes to do burnouts. And so basically, yeah, middle class, I suppose. Anyway, I'm like, okay, yep. So I dyed my hair pissy yellow. Right. I have false teeth. Now, as someone who's as vain as myself, I've never shown myself with my false teeth out. So I took my teeth out and they went, shit, Sean, you can do this role. You can do it. So I went for the audition. It was a live on stage audition at Newcastle. I got up there. I did my thing. At the end of the show, I walked up and said, thanks very much. I put my teeth back in and walked up and said, g'day, mate, how you going? That was really fun. Thanks very much. He said, oh, you're normal. I said, yes, mate. And he went, oh, right, get his number. So I gave him the number. Long story short, I got myself into he put me as a little part in a show called Bogan Hunters, which was on Channel 7. Did that. That led into a movie called Fat Pizza vs. Howzo's, where I got myself a little small role in that, and he also used some of my band's music. And then it went from there to a movie called Dumb Criminals. So ended up being a four-part web series online, or a six-part web series online, or seven-part, maybe it's a seven-part web series online on YouTube. And then it also came out as a film. Now, the brains behind this was Paul Fennick, and he came out with a show called, like I said, he came out with these shows called Fat Pizza, and I think he started off through Tropfest, which is like another film festival.
Can you do the look without the – you don't have to do the teeth. Just do the look. Oh, come on. Just say something in that look. Come on. Do it.
Oh, no, I don't want it, man. Don't want it. No, I can't. I didn't do that.
All right. So I basically – I mean, look, Paul gave me my start in the industry. Yeah. It's no secret. Anyone that's ever asked me, I've said, you know, Paul Fennick gave me my go. I went from that and I decided to, you know, I wanted to have a crack at, you know, other parts of television. Like I thought, well, you know, I've had a crack at this sort of acting. Maybe I should try other stuff, you know. And because a lot of the other actors that I was working with on the show, so I said, hey, you should do some acting lessons and, you know, try some other and, you know, have a good crack at this. I thought, okay,
well, you're a natural, I will. Right? Yeah.
So I just started doing more. You know, I got myself onto heaps. I got myself onto all these little short films and I got myself onto a couple of TV series and a show called Secret Daughter. And I got another one called Deadly Women, which is something you guys have on the Crime Channel over there.
Now, people actually come up to you and recognize you now a lot.
Yeah, I think it's a lot from the commercials that I've done. I've done a few television commercials over here, which have sort of gone campaign-y. And then they've recognized me from that, and they've recognized me from the Dumb Criminals, some of the Howzo stuff.
You were so freaking funny in that, dude. I swear to God, I wish we could play a clip because.
Dude, it was really good because he actually got me to do something that I was uncomfortable with doing, but he made me come out of my shell in a way that I never thought I could. To go from that person who's right up the front of a band, you know, being the center of attention, you know, being, you know, the one that always makes sure he's looking in the mirror to make sure he's always looking perfect before he goes out. To looking that terrible and stuff like that and rolling with it, it was like a weight lifting off my shoulders.
Yeah.
And for that, I'll always be grateful, you know.
So wait, now what about your band?
My band? Well, we're not together anymore.
No. They're not there anymore. That's because that's one of the reasons we connected, you and me, because we both like to sing.
Yeah. Dude, karaoke. We had some wild nights doing that. Dude,
we crushed.
Dude. It's like, and it was good because I walked up, I was like, hi, I like to have a bit of a sing. So sorry, guys. And then I got there like, what the fuck?
Dude, we tore it up. Come on, admit it. We tore it up.
It was good because we'll get, you know, we had a great selection of great little selection of songs. I'd get, you know, you'd have between us, we were doing, you know, covering centuries. You know, I was doing like things from, you know, like the 60s and then, you know, doing stuff like Rebel Yell and then doing Tom Jones.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we always got attention from karaoke. I miss it. Don't you miss it?
Kevin, have you been to karaoke with this fella?
I have never sang karaoke in my life. You know, those, let me tell you something. My daughter, who is a singer, has asked me if, like, do you hear things? What's going on there, Dad? So I think I'm doing everybody a favor by keeping that under wraps.
No, but you've never been to karaoke with me, Kevin?
No.
Oh, wow.
No. Yeah.
Wow.
I agree. Karaoke right now. Right now.
In a battle. That's how we'll solve elections.
You know, maybe not tonight, but maybe we could do a karaoke thing, you and me.
So an online karaoke podcast video thingy.
We should do one. That would be hilarious. Yeah. Look at that. They're like, now.
Man, we need karaoke, bro.
Screen. Karaoke. We want to hear it.
Because look, a lot of people are still locked up. They're all still locked up in their houses. They're like, you know, everyone's trying to get out. So, you know, you mentioned karaoke. That's like, you know, saying to a heroin addict that hasn't had heroin for 5 weeks to get some heroin.
Right?
Hey,
right.
It's like, hey, bro. Hey, man. You want some karaoke, man? Come here, man. Come in here.
Everybody's like, screaming karaoke now.
What's
your
song?
I don't think we can do it without the music and all that kind of stuff.
One song karaoke. What is your song?
There's not one song for us. We do a lot.
No, that's what I'm saying. You got to pick one. The pressure's on. One song.
You got to pick one. I got to look at my list. Hold on.
Come on, just pick a song.
No, I want to look at my list. I'm not even kidding you.
Diva.
Oh God, I don't know. What do you want? You do yours first.
I'm not singing.
You're not. Come on. Oh, if I'm not doing it, if you're not doing it.
I'm not doing it. If you're not doing it. Put the music on, man. Come on.
By the time I get to
when Phoenix. I was young, I seen that life was so wonderful. A miracle. Oh, it was logical. Whatever, something like that. There you go.
All right, there you go.
But then they showed me a world where I could be so acceptable. Clinical. Oh, yeah, intellectual, cynical.
Oh, that's a good one. What was that song? Who's that? That's
Supertramp.
Supertramp.
A band named after my ex. An old ex, not my ex-wife. Let's make
not
that
anybody
clear.
I have to see again.
Let's make that clear. My ex-wife is a wonderful human being, and I mean that with all my heart.
I know her. Very lovely.
She is. You know her. She's a great mother. Now that I've got myself in trouble, you have to sing.
Oh, sorry.
Is that
a burp?
Oh wow!
It was terrible. Hold on.
I love how you still had an Australian accent with a burp.
Hold on, it's coming, right? It's coming. Chill, just chill, right? Ready?
Do the rebel yell! Come on, you used to do that one. Oh, you got the music. That's not fair.
Hey, mate, I'm a professional. I will be getting trouble for this.
Oh, wait.
Ready?
Yeah, no, wait. You can only do like three or four words, or the YouTube will. You know what? You got to cut the music. Seriously, they'll take it down. YouTube will take it down. I know. It sucks.
But it's karaoke. Isn't it karaoke music?
Well, do it with your earbuds. Do it with your earbuds. Put the earbuds in so only you can hear it, the music.
Oh, that's weird. You know, the house has like got a sleeping person from working, so I can't wake anyone up. Oh, damn, shucks.
You know what's funny? I was at a karaoke reunion. I used to host Dimples, the oldest karaoke bar in the country, and we had a reunion. And this one, they have a bunch of crazy people. There's cool people, but some of them were insane. And this one guy got up and he literally put on headphones and sang with no music, all just on his headphones so he could hear it.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was like a cat scratching the crazy sound that came out of his mouth. It was like, totally insane.
See, the only sort of music I can sing without music is something like, you know, Elvis.
There you go.
Anyone can sing Elvis when you've got no music.
Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA.
So you've got don't, that's what you say. Each time that I hold you this way. See, that's Elvis without music. It's probably terrible. It's very pitchy. Anyway.
It's honestly really hard to do it without the music, you know.
So
it is. It is.
Shit. I just sue myself out there. Just sue myself on the device. Fuck.
They like it.
Do you remember any Aussie words? Do you know any more? Do you want to teach you some?
No, I don't think we should do it on the show because it's just going to be really boring. Only because, see, they like your voice. There you go. We can't talk about your current project. It's big.
Can't even talk about the current project because it's big.
We can just say your project is huge. This is going to be big for you.
Yeah. It should be pretty good. Yes. It should be good.
Let's just. We can't even.
Yes.
You're That's, so. You know what? Yes. I'm not gonna push. Going to put.
Yes, Dernie. It's going to be great. Shut up, Dernie.
Okay. All right. I'm not gonna.
Well, apparently now there is a project. Apparently, so great.
Well, I'm not gonna push you on it, but it's something that could change your life, and I'm hoping it does because you're one of the greatest people I've ever met. You know, I'm grateful to be your friend.
Oh, mate.
I am.
Mate, I'll tell you what, I was the last few weeks I was in LA last year were, you know, it was weird. I met you at a time when my luck, like, oh, dude, I was in a bad way when I met you last year. And yeah. it was the last like 4 weeks of my trip. And I think if I hadn't met you, I think my trip might have gone a little bit different than, you know, a lot different than what I thought. So, I mean, so in that, thank you.
Is that good or bad? Okay.
No, dude, if it wasn't for you and Scott, man, far out. You guys lifted me up. I mean, I met some, I made real connections with you guys. I mean, you become like one of my best friends. So, you know, and I mean, yeah, dude. Don't make me get emotional, man. I miss you, motherfucker.
The producer said I need to get you to cry.
I got snot coming out of your nose now.
No, no snot. Oh, God.
It's all right. He's committed.
I love you, man.
I love you too, brother. I really do. Okay, Kevin, what'd you do? Kevin, I blame you. Oh, God.
I stayed out of the whole thing, Danny. I stayed out.
More.
That's your song.
With a rebel, yell.
That's your song. That's one of your big songs, man.
Dude, that was so much fun. Dude, oh, do you know what? That was one of the major things last year. So I was sitting there singing karaoke, right, at the Banana Bungalows on Vibe on the Hollywood, which is now a motel, which is the Vibe Hotel on Hollywood Boulevard. Amazing place. If you're ever there, you know, be nice. They're great people. Sitting there singing karaoke, singing Rebel Yell, and this chick comes up and she's like, so you're like, after so she's like, that was really good. And I'm like, oh, thanks. And she's like, you know, do you like Billy Idol? I'm like, yeah, Billy Idol's awesome. She's like, oh, cool. She's like, yeah. She goes, come to this address tomorrow night. And I'm like, okay. So I end up the next night, I end up rocking up at this address, go in, and my name's on the door. I'm like, what the hell? This is weird. Walk in. There's this dude with a hat and glasses and a black beard and tats all over him. And I'm sitting there looking at this dude going, wow, you look really familiar. And he's like, hey, man, Dave. And it was Dave Navarro.
Whoa.
Dude, I'm like, what the hell, right? So I walk in, there's Dave Navarro, there's like a couple of other musos, and there's a few people from like a show called Arrested Development and a couple of other TV shows.
Oh,
and
my God. Who was there from Arrested Development?
Oh, there was a tall dude with a mustache. I don't know what his name was. I just remember looked at him and go, whoa.
I'm trying to think of who that is.
Tall dude. It was also another dude with the bald dude, big eyes.
Oh, yeah. That's the guy. He was from Mr. Yeah. Show.
And there was a couple other people there. Anyway, I walked out and there was this, I could hear this voice and it was like, what's going on here? And I've sort of gone up the back, and then I've turned around, and there's Edward Furlong. He's walked off to the what's name? There's he was like really big and puffy and not well. Wow. And I was like, wow. And then the chick's like walks up. She's like, hi, how you going? I'm like, who the hell are you? And she's like, I met you last night, dude. And I'm like, oh, sorry. She just looked different. And so she's like, so do you want to meet Billy? And I'm like, what? She's like, do you want to meet Billy Idol? I'm like, what do you mean, do I want to meet Billy Idol? She goes, this is his guitarist's, Billy Morrison's art exhibition. And I'm like, oh, no way.
Oh, my God.
I turn around and I'm sitting there thinking, and I said, everyone here is famous apart from me. Everyone. And I mean everyone. I was sitting there talking to this one lady, and she ended up being, she was the stunt woman for the original Wonder Woman. Wow. I was just like, and we're just talking. She's like, yeah, I was just a woman for Wonder Woman. I'm like, what the hell? And then she's like, yeah, so this chick said, do you want to meet Billy? I've walked upstairs and there's Billy Idol. And I'm like, she's like, hey, Billy, Sean sings your songs. And he's like, g'day, Sean, here you go, mate. And I'm like, and man, I went as white as Billy.
Dude, that's it was awesome. Was that before I met you, or was it after?
That was just before I met you.
Oh wow!
Yeah, man, it was crazy, dude. Crazy.
Wow.
And he wasn't a snob. He was just this cool dude, you know. Just
yeah, I believe you. He seems like a cool dude.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. You should have gotten some of them to interview for your
I wish
documentary.
Dude, I didn't want to go there and get my camera out to get a couple of photos on the red carpet, and I got a selfie with Billy Idol. But I wasn't going to play this whole, you know, celebrity hunting thing, you know, like, oh my God, this celebrity's going to take a photo with everybody.
No, but if you make a real connection, like we did.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You make a connection. I didn't need to take a photo of the first time we made a connection. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
You know, like I treated everybody there, I treated like a person. I forgot that they were celebrities. Who gives a shit if they're celebrities?
That's the way you got to be.
And they're just other people. And that's, I think, why I got along with everybody, because I didn't throw a big, like, oh, my God, you're such and such. I mean, with Billy, I was like, dude, I'm a bit of a fan, eh? You know, and he's like, I asked, yeah, I'll sing your songs, but can I just get a selfie? He's like, sure you can, mate. What else do you want to do? You want to take some photos of me? And I was like, yeah, why not? I got to, have a drink with
him. Tilt your head, Billy. Tilt your head like this.
Mate, if you go onto my Instagram, they're all over there, him posing for photos and that for me.
Speaking of that, where can people find you? What's your Instagram?
Okay. So it's straight up. I am. So it's the letter I M. Sean Anthony Robinson. One word. Which is Shaun Anthony.
Yep, it's right Robinson. Under your face.
Yep. Yeah, that there. Yep. So if you go to IMDb, I'm on IMDb. If you go to downunder.actor, so that's downunder.actor, that will take you to my website and all my links are there. The links to Surviving Sunset, which is the new documentary. We should be putting up a new trailer for that in the next month or so. We have to take the old one down because, as I said, we're rebranding that. And then, yeah, there's links to my Facebook. You can find me on Facebook as Sean Anthony Robinson, Australian actor. Instagram, everywhere. You can find me everywhere. You can, yeah.
Okay, so what's your address? No.
Jenny, what street number do you live in again?
Right?
Yeah, okay, so...
That's awesome.
Yeah, number 444, Melrose.
No, I don't want the real address. Nice. Isn't that the place with girls on the front and neon?
That's the number. That is the actual address that I put on my medical marijuana card when I first went to
That's because awesome.
Because the doctor's like, so I'm like, mate, I'm from Australia. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, so you don't have an address here? I'm like, no. And he's like, okay, man, let's say you live at 444 Melrose. I'm like, wow. Sounds good to me, but nice.
I'm glad they're so strict.
That's hysterical. You know,
the screening was so, you know, that. And hey, look, that was in Trump times. So, you know.
There you go. All right, so listen, man, we've done an hour. You've been amazing. We're definitely going to have you back on the show because you're my best friend from Australia.
Oh, and,
Kylie Minogue. Thanks.
Shout out to, can I shout out to a couple
Absolutely.
Of
people? Absolutely, shout out.
I want to shout out to everyone that I've shared this to on Facebook for coming on here and jumping on and saying hi. Shout out to Michelli, who's just popped up there, a big, what's name, Robin. Everyone else, yeah, and just, yeah, everyone else that's jumped on there and anyone else that's watching, it's like, oh, I'll have to check out and see what Sean's up to. Thanks. Cheers. Thanks for seeing what I'm doing, and thanks for following Danny. Make sure you watch this dude. He's funny as hell.
Thank you, bro.
And if you haven't watched his COVID thingy, you've got, like, what is it called? What was it? COVID
Living times? In Corona.
Living in Corona. I'm telling you what, you piss your pants laughing. That's all I can say. Hands laughing.
That's actually right there is the animated picture someone drew of all the characters. You see that?
Oh wow! I need them to do something like that for me. I need someone to draw me. If you can draw me.
We've got.
I need someone to do a cartoon version of me.
We've got people. In fact, you can be on my episodes when we start animating it. It'll be awesome. You can do the voiceovers and everything.
Oh, I got a screenshot. That looks so good. Oh my god, how do I do that?
Isn't that great? That was Daniel, right? I think that was Daniel that did that. Yeah. Isn't that great? You can like. So, dude, thank you for being on the show, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. And take care and be good and stay safe. Hey.
You too, brother. All right, take guys. Care.
Be good, bro.
Yeah, and iron that don't sheet, take, will you?
Kevin, don't take any more of his crap. Just
it's part of the fun.
That way. That way just
yeah, you know what? We are going to do, what we've decided is that we're going to, I didn't tell Kevin this yet, but we're going to have I Love Kevin Day where I show my real appreciation. Like, this is all. Well, no, I fire him all the time. But there's going to be a show once in a while where it's Kevin Appreciation Day. He doesn't even want it.
Hey, Kev. Hey, Kev. Kevin. Kev, mate.
Yes,
Kevin.
Mate.
Kevin, mate.
Kevin. We love you, buddy. We love you, man.
I'm not sure what's happening here, but I'm a little uncomfortable.
You're about to get sexually abused.
Someone screenshot that shit.
All right. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. We love you all.
Next week, baby.
Nope.
We're still live. What the